empathy or express concern, care, whatever it may be, that's fine. But you see, we can actually make a difference. We can actually see God move upon people and situations. Even in tragedy, even in grief, we can see God move and work. And so that's why He calls us to pray. And He also calls us to pray and be aware of these things, because it may be that He's calling you. You may be the one that He will send into that situation to bring the hope, the love, the light of Christ in a very, very dark world. And so that's why He calls us to pray. He calls us to pray because He is the God who hears, the God who moves, the God who answers. And so our trust, our faith is in Him. Not in our prayers, but in Him. Amen. As I said earlier, today is Valentine's Day, and so I wish everyone a happy Valentine's. Just as a intro into the message this morning, I looked up last evening. I was trying to find a catchy intro into the message, and you know, everything's Valentine's is splashed all across the internet, and you know, everybody's talking about it. And so I found a few quotes that I think will be fun. And it's about love. Love being the centerpiece of Valentine's Day. Love is like the wind. You can't see it, but you feel its warmth. Love is like a lifeboat on the stormy seas of life. Love is like the universe. It never ends. Love is like a blazing fire. It burns mightily, and no amount of water can put it out. That's from the Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6. This is a fun one. Love is like an hourglass. As the heart fills up, the brain empties. Love is like a rose. We're blinded by its beauty, and you overlook the thorns that stick you. And this was a really, I didn't know what to think about this one. Love is like sugar. At first it's sweet, but in the end it gives you diabetes. All kinds of crazy stuff happening with Valentine's Day and love. We're told from the Word that love, true love, is from God. In fact, we're told in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, and maybe you learned the song as a child. Maybe as you were growing up, you learned, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." God is love. God is the one who has brought about the whole concept, the whole idea of love. Let's talk about it today. As we look at this passage, Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 34, Jesus talks to us about what is true love. Let's stand and read that passage together. The words of Jesus. Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 38 through 34, read in unison together. One of the teachers of the law was... I'm sorry, keep going. And it's a good answer of the commandments. Which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but Him. To love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, And to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. The main point of this message is this, that true love in our lives, true love is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus quotes this here to the teacher of the law that comes and speaks to him, and really he has been emphasizing this in his teaching ministry. Why does Jesus focus on this? What is the implication? The implication is this, that you and I can't truly love ourselves, one another, or even Him without His presence and His power in our lives. We can't. We can't truly love the way He's called us to love. Now, certainly humans are capable of love. No doubt. But let's be honest, our love, humanly speaking, is flawed. Our love is limited. Our love has a lot of self-motivation in it. Our love often only goes so far. We read some of these quotes, I especially like that one, "Love is like an hourglass. As the heart fills up, the brain empties." What? In other words, true love is all about the heart, and you're supposed to be mindless. Well, I don't think that that's true. It's a funny quote, but I don't believe that Jesus is saying that that is the truth of what is true love. True love is about loving God first, and then because we're filled with His love, we can then love one another. So Jesus makes this the centerpiece, the first and foremost command. And he says the second is just like it. He says, true love is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's what true love is. Where is Jesus getting this from? Where is he quoting this from? He's quoting it from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Verse 4 and 5. Deuteronomy verse 6, chapter 6, excuse me, verses 4 and 5. And as we look at this passage of Deuteronomy. We read this. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." That's the first and greatest command. In fact, it is called the Shema. Here, in the Hebrew, is Shema. And so it's the call of all believers in Yahweh God, all Jewish believers. They call, and they use this even today. "Listen," he's saying, "hear what I'm saying to you. The Lord thy God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength." So, as we read that, as Jesus is quoting that from Deuteronomy chapter 6, we have to ask the question, when it says love the Lord, we have to ask the question, well, what is love? What is love? Love is not just a feeling. You know, love is just so misused. This word that we call love is so misused. I mean, you've heard me say, you know, I love pizza. And I do. But that's not the kind of love that is being spoken of here. You might say to your spouse, I hope you said it this morning, to your spouse, your sweetie, you know, and you said it via a card and maybe some candy or maybe some flowers and promises that you don't intend to keep. But you've expressed in some way, just having fun, folks, don't get me too serious. You've expressed in some way love to your spouse, to your sweetie. But that is not the kind of love that's being spoken of here. No, this love here, this word ohab in the Hebrew means a deep, deep affection. Love in the old Hebrew was a deep affection. It goes beyond just emotion. It goes beyond just thought. It is a deep affection. In other words, I am affected not only by what I feel, but what I think. The knowledge of who God is causes me to have a deep commitment, a deep feeling, a deep trust, a deep reverence, a deep respect. That is all encompassed in the word love. In the Greek, the word agape means unconditional commitment. And it's because God defined love as he continued to deal with his people throughout the centuries. He made it clear that there was another type of love. It was called chesed, which means a commitment that is unconditional. Whereas he's saying to us, we have to love him. Humanly, it's impossible. But God loves us. His love is unconditional. And so in the New Testament, it's used in a sense of not just an emotion, not just a feeling, not even just a thought or a word, but rather an unconditional commitment. That's what God is calling us to love him. Well, let's unpack this in the few minutes that we have. So as we, if you'd go back to that verse for me, Jim, Deuteronomy chapter 6, when we are called to love the Lord, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and love the Lord your God. So it begs the question, I have to ask you the question, is the Lord your God? Are you here this morning, and is the Lord your God? Or are you just here out of some religious duty? Or perhaps your parents made you come here this morning? Or you were curious, or a friend invited you, you're checking this out, and that's fine, that's good, we're glad you're here. But since you're here, I get to ask you this question. Is the Lord your God? In other words, have you come to that place where not only you know about God, but you've come to that relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and you can say, the Lord is my God. The Lord, because of Jesus Christ, is my God. He has made a way for us to know him as God, as our God. It's interesting that as you look through the Old Testament, and there are some very interesting and sometimes bizarre things that happen through the Old Testament, no doubt. And, I mean, you have things like a bush that burns and is not consumed. You have a donkey that talks to Balaam. You know, all kinds of crazy stuff in there. But it's not about the details. Don't get lost in the forest for the trees. No, but rather see what is the big picture. What is the message? The message is God loves us and wants to have a relationship with us. And the Old Testament is a story of God choosing a people and revealing himself, revealing his love to them, and calling them to love him and be his people and follow them. And you know what? That hasn't changed. That message, that call is still there, and God has made a way possible for us to deal with our sin problem, to deal with the inability, the impossibility to love him and follow him and obey him through his Son, Jesus Christ. But you and I must come to Christ. We must make that choice. We must say, not only to ourselves, not only to perhaps our loved ones, our families, but to the whole world, I belong to God. I am a follower of God through Jesus Christ. You and I must declare our love. It reminds me of a husband and wife that have been married for several years, and Valentine's Day was coming. And in fact, Valentine's Day came, like today. And unfortunately, the husband didn't say anything, and the husband hadn't got his wife a card, and he didn't get her any chocolates or anything like that. And so she woke up that morning, and she was kind of upset. There was nothing there. And so she went and talked to her husband, and she said, "Don't you love me?" And he said, of course I love you. When we got married, I told you that I loved you, right? And she said, yes. She said, well, nothing's changed, and if anything does change, I'll let you know. Well, would that be acceptable to you or to me? No. You have to declare your love. You have to nurture love. You have to express your love. What makes us think it's any different with the Lord? The Lord wants us to declare our love, to declare that we are loyal, we are committed to Him, just like in marriage. Marriage, in fact, is a great picture of our relationship with God. In fact, Jesus uses the marriage relationship, the marriage analogy, as that relationship He has with us. We're called the bride of Christ, and that He is preparing us to be His bride, and one day we will be joined together at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that will be a great celebration. Is the Lord your God? Joshua was one of the Lord's great servants, one of the Lord's great leaders in the Old Testament, and now that he had begun to lead the people of Israel, Moses had died and had gone off the scene at this point, and Joshua is now leading the people of Israel, and the Lord gives an opportunity for the people to express their love. Let's read from Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 15, and that is going to be Lynn Richards. I hope that's Jesus. He's calling to tell you He loves you. Joshua chapter 24, 14 through 15.
Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.
Wow. Joshua was one of those guys that just told it like it is. He just cut straight to the punchline. He didn't beat around the bush, did he? He says to the people, now, fear the Lord and serve Him. Choose this day. Choose. In other words, I'm not going to allow you to go on meandering about, wandering about. You got to choose this day who you're going to serve. He says, the choice is yours, and if you're going to choose, guess what? Choose the Lord, but you got to throw away the gods of your forefathers. You've got to throw away the gods and renounce the gods of the Amorites, the people that were living all around them. You have to renounce those, and you have to serve the Lord. The choice is yours. Guess what? That choice remains for you and me today. You and I must choose this day who we're going to serve. Now, maybe you're not serving, you know, little idols that people make, but there are certainly gods of the age, are there not? One of them's the almighty dollar. People serve money. Everything is about money. It's their god. You see, what is your God is that which you give ultimate devotion to, that which you give yourself for, that which you give all of you about to. That's what your God is. Some people serve today the God of pleasure, the God of recreation. Some people serve the God of self. It's all about me, what I want. In fact, I will put myself above all others. I'll do whatever I need to do, step on others, take advantage of others, just so that I can be first. Some people worship themselves. And so you can fill in the blank of what might be a God today that you're tempted to worship. But God is saying to you and to me, choose this day who you will worship. If the Lord is truly God, worship Him. If God is who He says He is, worship Him. Let's listen to some words of Jesus that speaks to this. We must worship God by putting our faith through His Son, Jesus Christ. John chapter 5, verse 24 through 27, and chapter 8, 23 through 24. Mark Saltonfuss will read that for us.
believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He's crossed over from life, from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. But he continued, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins."
Again, Jesus, very clear, calls to you and to me, and he says, I am from above. You are from here, from earth, from below. I'm from above, and I've come from my Father. I have the authority. God has given me the authority. And he gave his life for our sins. He challenged the people of the day because there were many in that day that did not believe him. They disbelieved him. And so he says to them and he says to you and me today, he says, if you don't believe in me, if you don't put your faith in me, you will indeed die in your sins. Now, I don't know about you. I don't want to die in my sins in the sense that I've got to be accountable. I'm going to be held accountable. I need to pay penalty for my sins. I don't want that. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to be able to stand before God and say, yes, I am guilty. But God, you promised that if I put my faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, my sins would be forgiven. My sins would be covered. How about you? Are you here today? And are your sins forgiven? Are your sins covered? Do you know that for certain? Because you've put your faith in Jesus Christ. You have believed who he is, who he claimed to be. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Do you know that you know that you know you have received his forgiveness, you have received his mercy? You and I must, as an act of faith, put our faith in Christ. It's not automatic. We live in a world today that wants us to be politically correct. It does not want us to say things like, Jesus Christ is the only way, the one way to God the Father. Jesus himself said these words. They don't want you to say these words. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The world around us today, they don't like that because you see that's exclusive. And what they're saying is, oh, so you're saying that Christianity is the only religion? And my answer is, it's not a religion. It's a relationship. Christianity is not about a religion. It is a relationship with the Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, yes, we are saying, because Jesus said it, not because we think it. Listen, not because I think it, not because I say it, not because I believe it, but because Jesus said these words. Jesus, the Son of God, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You and I have a choice. Do we believe him? Have we put our faith in him? Not just with our head, but with our heart. That longest distance in the universe. From our head to our heart. Have you and I come to that place where we have said, yes, I put my faith in you, Lord Jesus. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you have died for my sins. I believe that you rose from the dead and overcame death. You took my penalty so that I might be forgiven, that I might know relationship with God through Christ. Is that you this morning? Have you made that commitment? Listen, if you haven't made that commitment, everything else that I'm about to say really will make no sense to you. Because why would you love one that you don't know? Why would you love one that you don't know? But God calls us, first and foremost, to put our faith in the Lord God. Number two, once we do that, We're called then to love the Lord with everything. That's the point that Jesus is trying to make. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength means to love Him with everything. Everything in our lives. Our will, our desires, our passions, our affections, our perceptions, our thoughts. To love God with all of our heart. Again, from Deuteronomy 6, the heart, to love God from the heart, it means to love Him from the very center of our being, the center of our understanding. That's what the Hebrew word heart was meaning, the center of one's being. Then it says to love the Lord with your soul, all your soul. It means the soul, nefesh, means your life, your vitality. Right? God has breathed into you and to me the breath of life. And so we love Him with all of our life. When Jesus adds this word, it's not in Deuteronomy chapter 6, but it was added by the Pharisees, by the teachers of the law, to try to express and understand in the culture of the day that it was to encompass all of us. He adds the word dianoia, mind. Love the Lord your God with all your mind. It means your deep understanding. It means not only are you to love Him with your affections in the center of your being, you are to love Him fully understanding and knowing who He is. See, you don't have to be mindless to be a Christian. Sometimes I hear the so-called theories of secular evolution. And to me, that is one of the most closest to mindless things that I've ever heard. To believe that something came from nothing. That somehow it's all just a cosmic mistake. A cosmic chance. That life began from nothing. With no meaning, no purpose. That's mindless. I don't comprehend that. And so to me, to worship God with all my mind is to understand who He is, what He's done. And that there is no contradiction in His Word. There's no contradiction with life sciences. Just because we don't fully understand it doesn't mean that it's in a contradiction. Just think with me for a moment. In a human example, Einstein. I mean, in his day, some people looked at him as a quack. They thought, this guy has lost his mind. He is off his rocker. You know, he came up with the theory of relativity, and there were people that despised him. They mocked him. They thought he was a lunatic. But his theory has come to be understood as, yes, his theory is correct. You know, so just because we don't understand something, just because we think, the solar system, you know, is not earth-centric. You know, even the church, the institutional church, considered that blasphemy. You know, that the earth wasn't the center of the universe, our solar system. Just because you don't understand that, just because you don't fully understand and have all the facts, that doesn't mean that it's not true, or that your understanding of it limits God somehow in some way. No. We can be fully engaged with our mind. I love Ravi Zacharias, his ministry, especially on the radio and on TV, is called Let My People Think. And he can explain, and after you listen to him for about 5 minutes, your brain begins to hurt. He has such an incredible mind, but he can just begin to express things in every area, philosophy, history, archaeology. I mean, it's just unbelievable, biblical studies. So we can worship God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind. And then Jesus says from Deuteronomy chapter 6, you are to worship the Lord your God, love Him with all of your strength. With all of your strength. The word strength or me'od means with all of your vitality. With all of your vehemence. I mean, since it's Valentine's Day, again, let me use another illustration from marriage and love. What if you woke up today on Valentine's Day and your spouse came to you and you said, I love you, honey. we'd be like, really? I'd say, go back out, into the hall, come back in the room, do that again. We want some feeling, we want some fervency, we want some vehemency behind it. Right? Not just words that mean nothing, but words that express our heart, express with strength, vitality. That's what the word means. Worship the Lord, love Him with all of your strength. All this to mean we worship God with our entire being. It also means that there's no separation in life. It means that we love the Lord tomorrow, Monday, just like we love the Lord today. It means that I'm the same person tomorrow that I am in church today. I don't put on my religious face and my religious clothes and my religious jargon. I don't act differently on Sunday. I've heard of many who have gotten soured on the institutional church. Perhaps growing up you were like them, where you had people that they put on the holy facade for Sunday. And they act all spiritual. And they dress, you know, in certain ways to be, you know, very presentable. And, you know, that, as you notice, that's not one of the things that we do here at Lion Lines Church. If you want to wear a suit and tie, feel free. But understand, that's really not our MO here, because we're really not about how you dress, how you look. That's not what it's about. And sometimes I think that formality, that rigidity, I think sometimes that's a wall between people. They just, you know, I want to keep you at certain distance. I remember years ago there was a particular man who, he meant every Sunday, just dressed to the T. And it's not Joe Smith, so don't think I'm thinking of Joe Smith. I love Joe Smith, even if he wears silly coats and ties. By the way, I got a call from him this past week, and Joe said to please express their love to the congregation. They miss you all. I said, when are you heading back? He didn't say anything. That's a little inside joke. But anyway, this man wore a suit and tie, and when I would go to shake his hand, and you know me, I'm kind of a hugger. You know, I love people, and I love to express my heart and my love to people. He put his hand out very far like that, and when he gripped my hand, he would keep me at a distance. He didn't want me hugging him. He's like, this is my space. Don't invade my space. And you know what? That's okay. You know, there's some of you here, you're not really big huggers, and that's fine. And you see Pastor Tom coming, and you're like, phew. That's okay. I understand. But I think there's something about when we're dressing a certain way, and we're presenting ourselves a certain way, and we're keeping people at a distance. You know what? You're not just keeping people at a distance. You're trying to keep God at a distance, too. You're trying to keep yourself in your safe, controlled little world. And you know what? That doesn't cut it with God. He is not interested in your suit and your tie and your jacket. He is not interested at the letters at the end of your name, whether it's PhD or OLD. He could care less. He really does. But to worship Him means to, I worship Him with my entire being. I mean, let's use David as an example. I mean, you know, by the way, I'm not going to do what David did, so don't get upset or get worried here. But, you know, David said, you know, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm going to get even more undignified. I don't know how he'd get him more undignified. He was dancing around in his underclothes. Right? He's worshiping the Lord, and he's dancing around and twirling around in his underclothes. Folks, I'm not going to be doing that, so don't worry in the least. Okay? But God, somebody's saying amen over there. God wants our entire being. He wants us to love Him with our entire heart. Now, one commentator wrote this. This command seems impossible to obey. That's because in the natural state of man, it is impossible. There's no greater evidence of the inability of man to obey God's law than this first and one command. No human being with a fallen nature can possibly love God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength 24 hours a day. It's humanly impossible. But to disobey any command of God, and this first command of God, is sin. So, therefore, even though without considering any act of sin, we commit daily, we are all condemned by our inability to fulfill this one command. This is the reason that Jesus continually reminded the Pharisees and the leaders of the day of their inability to keep the law of God. He was trying to get them to see their utter spiritual bankruptcy apart from God. He was trying to help them understand that without the forgiveness of sins that He provided and the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit, we cannot love God. As Christians, though, we have been cleansed from sin, and we do have the Spirit of God. And therefore, listen, you still with me? Say amen. We have the Spirit of God, and we can begin to love the Lord more and more in our lives. I don't know where you're at today, but I'm calling all of us today to take stock of where we're at in our relationship with God. And I want to say to us, you have been cleansed from sin. If you know Jesus Christ, you have been cleansed from sin, and you have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. And so, you and I should consider, how can I begin to love God even more? We can ask God to help us in those areas, listen, where I'm not loving Him. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about, you know, the call to obedience. And Jesus said, to love me is to obey my commands. If you love me, Jesus said, you will obey my commands. You see, so we can look at our lives and say, Lord, I recognize that I may love you, but there are areas in my life that I really don't love you. Can you say that with me? Can you agree that there are areas in my life, Lord, that I'm not loving you because I'm not obeying you? There's certain areas, Lord, that you've made clear, and there's certain things in the Word that are very clear, and Lord, I'm not obeying you. Therefore, I'm not loving you. In that particular area, Lord, I'm not loving you. And Lord, I'm asking that you help me, that through the power of the indwelling Spirit, you would help me to begin to love you in those areas. Lord, I want to love you with all of my heart. Lord, I want you to be the center of my passions and my desires, my thoughts. Lord, I want to love you in how I live, how I talk, how I do my work, what I do with my talents. Listen, how I react to the challenges and the frustrations of life. Lord, I want to love you even in them. Our brother Roger shared a few weeks ago the experience he had with a crank caller who tried to scam him. And I really appreciate our brother and his transparency, how after a few moments of this guy just really staying at him, and then calling his wife's phone, he lost it and got frustrated with this guy. And you know what? We all do that. You know, we don't want to talk about it. We certainly don't want to talk about it in church. Oh, I don't have a problem with that, Pastor. I don't lose my temper. I had somebody to actually say that to me. I felt like balling up my fist and socking them right in the nose and see how they did with their temper right then and there. But I didn't do that. I just smiled and went, Lord's going to take care of this. Lord's going to take care of this. See, when you say things like that, listen, when we say things like that, I think I hear the Lord chuckle. And He's like, really? Okay. Let's go. Let's see how you do in this. You see, by the way, that's Job said that, right? Job said that. The thing that I feared has come to pass. Some people say, well, he feared his children dying and him getting sick. No. That's not what he feared. He feared being tested. None of us want to be tested. It's like, oh God, I love you. I really love you, Lord. And you don't need to test me. You don't need to test me, Lord. Hey, I'm saying that. You know, I don't need to be tested like Job, Lord. You know what? If the Lord told, I will grovel before you all. I will lay on this floor with my face in the carpet if that's what God calls me to do. Because you know what? I prefer to make an idiot of myself than to be disciplined by God. I don't want to go under His discipline. I know I'm going to. I know I have, and I probably will very soon. I probably will after this message. But I would rather grovel and, you know, like David said, be even more undignified than to, you know, have God say, you know what, Tom, you have an issue with pride, and I'm going to deal with you about that. Oh, my gosh, please, Lord. You see, and a lot of us here, you are so wrapped up in your pride and your ego, and you're like, well, you know, I love the Lord, but, you know, I'm only going to sing so loud. I'm not going to really sing exuberantly because I don't want anybody to think I'm weird. And I'm certainly not raising my hands. And some of you all that are doing a little Holy Spirit quick step dance there, not me. That's not for me. You know what? It's not about any of that. It's about expressing my heart to God, whether it's worship here or worship at home. You see, because we should be worshiping at home like we are worshiping corporately. Well, you know, we ought to be worshiping the Lord, have the music on, and be able to sing and praise God no matter where we are, whether you're in the car, whether you're at home, you know, whatever. See, because it's not about a show. Time is leaving. Lord, I want to worship you. I want to love you. And here's the thing. Watch this. And I'll close with this. As we love the Lord, you can sense His smile in your life. And you are energized by His smile, by His presence in your life. I'm using the word smile. What I really mean and some saying is it's His presence in your life, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. You sense His smile. You sense His amen in your life, and it energizes you. It invigorates you. It gives you life. It makes life worth living. We have a huge increase of suicides happening all across this nation. And people are like, I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. I do. Can you imagine living this life without the presence of God, without knowing God? How hopeless that would be? I can understand that. I'm not saying it's right or you know, excusing it in any way. I'm just saying I understand how hopeless it must be when there's no God in the picture, when you don't have a relationship with Christ, and therefore life seems completely empty and there doesn't seem to be any other answer. That brings it back to you and to me. Another reason that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, as Jesus said, and therefore, love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, how are you and I going to love our neighbor if we're not loving God? How are you and I going to love our neighbors, and who is our neighbor? Our neighbors are anyone that we have in contact, everyone that we have connection with. You know, we love ourselves, and you have to love yourself properly. We're not going to read that scripture, take time for it. Philippians chapter 4. I encourage you to read it. But you have to love yourself properly, have a proper view of yourself. You know, one time in Bible study, somebody said, well, you have to love yourself first before you can love other people. Well, yes and no. You have to love yourself properly. You have to have a right account of yourself. You can't do that unless you have the love of Christ in you. Because love of self turns into egomania. Love myself, and myself is first and foremost. No. Philippians 4 says, think of others, not just yourself. Be a servant to them. And you have to be filled with the love of God so that you can love others. And how are you and I going to love people in this broken, fallen world if we don't have the love of Christ filling us to overflowing? I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I want the love of Christ overflowing in my life so that I can pour out on others. I know that's the only way that I can love them. Would you stand with me as we pray? I just sense there are some here today that need to make a recommitment of their life to the Lord, that you need to recommit yourself to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if that's you, I just want you to pray along with me. a prayer of commitment. Father, we want to worship You. We want to love You with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, Lord, our whole being, the entirety of who and what we are. Lord, we know we can't do that on our own. We must have Your power, the power of the Holy Spirit in us, Lord. And so we thank You for Jesus. We thank You for His forgiveness, for His cleansing, and we thank You for the gift that He's given us of His Spirit. Lord, if there's anyone here today that they have not come to Jesus, they have not begun that relationship, Lord, let this be the day. Let this be the day when they say yes to Jesus and say, Lord, I want to know You. I want to love You. Please be in my life through Christ. I pray this over Your people here today, Lord. I ask that You will speak. You will draw hearts. Lord, You will do that work that only You can do. And I ask it in the precious name of Jesus. And the people of God said. Now, if you want prayer, and if you need to talk to somebody about starting that relationship, some of our elders are going to be up here at the front, one of our deaconesses. We would love to talk to you and pray with you. Come on up and let us encourage you and pray with you. God bless you all. Have a great rest of the day.